emergency?
Hello.
Hi.
We're back.
We're so back, and it's great for you guys to see us finally.
Yeah. This is what I look like.
That's Taj.
I'm Taj.
That's what you look like.
Do I look like Taj?
I don't know. Do you look like a Taj to me? Talk.
Hi, my name is Taj. I like long walks in the park. I like live music. And I love my puppy, Charlie.
Oh, okay. You are a middle-aged Asian woman.
That's funny.
Wow, guys. Happy New Year.
Yeah, we're back.
We are back. And it's the new year before What I'm trying to say is that we still have our Christmas decoration up.
Oh, yeah, clearly.
We're one of those people who leaves it up until maybe the end of January. I just think that the Christmas spirit just hasn't left us just yet.
Is that what we do?
We're still possessed by the Christmas spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys, this is Cocktail Murder.
It is.
We talk about murder.
We do. Exactly.
If you're new here, I'm assuming we're going to have kind of a new YouTube audience.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're new here, we talk about true crime stories that specifically include victims of color or Black victims, because those are the stories that are undertold, underreported.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just want to shed light on those.
Exactly. I have to say, it's been a while since we uploaded. I feel so.
It's been a long time.
I feel so weird. Like, I don't even know what to do.
I don't even know what to do now that there's like a camera right here. I keep looking over at it.
I know. There's two. I'm like, which one do I look at?
Yeah.
Do I look at you?
Or am I just supposed to look at you?
I don't know either. This is like so weird. I don't even know how to like do an introduction anymore.
Seriously.
Like, it's so. I feel so weird right now.
Did you hear my segue right now? It was so bad. I was like, this is Cocktail Murder.
No, and
that
like,
was so bad.
But you had to, because I wasn't really doing a great job talking at all. You had to, you know, basically take the lead on that.
Well, I will say, you guys, there has been a lot of COVID cases.
Yeah.
And I know I do sound a little sick. It's because I am. I don't have COVID.
No.
I have a cold vid.
You're funny.
Was that good?
That's funny.
I was working on that before we started recording.
Did you? Did you write it down?
I didn't. I didn't write it down. Good. In my head, I did. In my head.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just get it out now.
Gotcha. So I am, first of all, sucking on a Ricola on the side of my cheek. And if I have a cough attack, sorry.
She's vaccinated, so it's okay.
Yeah, but clearly we see.
Wait, maybe it's not okay. I don't even know anymore.
At this point, you either get it or you don't. I'll tell you one thing, and I've been telling everybody this. I got vaccinated so that when I travel, I wouldn't have to take a COVID test.
Right.
Because it's just so inconvenient.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. No, I still had to take a test going there and coming back. And let me tell you, Canada almost did not let me back in the country.
Yeah.
Okay?
Because
they're pretty strict out there, and apparently I got the wrong test, but
my thing is, if you want to get vaccinated, go ahead. If you want to get the boosters, go ahead. I probably would just get vaccinated and not get the booster, only because if the first shot doesn't work and the second shot that you're supposed to take paired with the first shot doesn't work, I don't think the third shot's going to work as much.
Well, the thing is, does it work or doesn't it work? It's supposed to, like, if you do get COVID, you don't get the symptoms as bad and stuff like that. So I guess in that way it could work. It just, it sucks right now, you guys. Like, I know so many people with COVID.
Yeah.
A lot of people have caught it. And I mean, people who haven't even caught it in the last 2 years, all of a sudden now they have it.
Yeah.
That's why I was scared when I first started getting a little sick. Cause I'm like, oh my God, I know so many people that have it. Not anybody that I was like in contact with, but
it's
been going around.
It's running rampant now, but honestly, I think it only slowed down. I think everyone has had it, and they're just now finding out that they have it because they've been traveling for the holidays.
Yeah,
to the point now where there's this new scare of the Omicron, the Omarion, that's out now. Yeah.
What's the dance?
So cold. Gets you cold. Gets you cold. It gets you cold. So, yeah, with Omarion going around, people are now testing and then they find out they have it. But I think everyone's been had it. Just no one's been testing.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, I think a lot of people, they're like, oh, let me just, since I'm going to go see my family and stuff, let me just get safe. Tested just in case.
Yeah.
But then they end up having it, not even knowing. Yeah,
shit, so. I have it. Sorry.
That sucks.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. Shout out to our cousin, Starlina. I mean, she hasn't been sick this whole time. And then all of a sudden, before Christmas,
right before the holidays, positive. Yeah, it's really sad.
That sucks. That really does.
It really is sad. There's a lot of people too, where a family members in a household where they wanted to visit that household, they wanted to go, but someone in the household has COVID, so they couldn't spend time together.
And you know what I thought was cute though, and maybe it's not that cute, but it was kind of cute. Mm-hmm. I saw this one TikTok, and it was a family, and only one person had it, so he couldn't come in the house. Uh-huh. But he was still there, like, it was outside of the window, which sucks, but they still, like, gave him his gifts outside the window.
Oh, that's so cute.
They made him a plate of food outside of the window. I was like, that's cute. They're still including him.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's super cute. Definitely a weird ending of 2021, for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of people had said, like, it's not Christmassy this year. We can't really feel the holiday spirit this year. It's just been so weird the past few years. And something that came to me, I was just like, you know, in the beginning, they said it's not going to go back to the norm anymore. Mm. And there's going to be a new normal. And I just think that everyone, or not the majority, including myself, just haven't really, like, you know, taken advantage of what this new norm is now.
You know what I mean?
Like,
sure.
Life is still going on in a weird way. I just haven't.
I'm definitely guilty of, like, okay, let's just wait until life goes back to normal.
Let's pause.
And then I will go back to normal. But I'm starting
this
to realize, like, oh shit, like, yeah, it's not going to go back to what it was.
No.
Like, this is life. And you guys, once you grasp onto that, it's easier to grab a hold of life. Because I think a lot of us have just been kind of just going with life and, like, not really being responsible.
Yeah,
about
I was gonna say, even like with us, you know, like, I feel like between our lives individually and together, there's a lot that has been going on, which caused us to put a pause on certain things that we want to accomplish.
Exactly.
You know, and now it's just, we're like, okay, life is going to move regardless.
So we just have to figure out how to adapt. It's about adapting.
Oh my gosh, for sure. And you know what? Once, like, you switch that mindset, it's kind of like, okay, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's
absolutely
not that bad. You know, you just dig
Girl,
into the
I'm putting
the
that
new...
on my resume. Easily adaptable.
Easily adaptable. Exactly. Exactly. Seriously. But anyways, the first part of the name of the podcast is cocktail. And with that, if you guys would like to send us cocktail recipes, we like to make cocktails and or just drink wine or take shots. And in this case, we, in light of Taj's cold and the winter, we are, you see my hat because it's the winter,
fabulous, honey. Fabulous.
with the shirt on that shows partial of my boob. Never gets cold,
looks good,
right?
That's funny.
We are making hot toddies.
We are, hopefully this knocks the rest of my cold right out.
Yes, and I hope this warms me up. I don't know. So what do we have, Taja?
Yeah, so first of all, I feel like I'm on a cooking segment right now.
So
first, I'm not going to talk to you guys. I'm going to talk to you.
Talk to me.
I don't know.
This is so weird. Just bear with us, please.
Yeah, okay. So first, I cut up some ginger and I put them in the bottom of our glasses.
Okay.
Because
aren't these glasses so cute?
They're so cute.
They're so cute.
I love these. These are my favorite glasses.
Yeah.
And we only have two of them.
I know. They're just the cutest thing.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, I put some ginger at the bottom of it because that's supposed to help with immunity or some shit. I don't know. Something like that.
That's the toddy in the hot toddy.
Yes. So hot toddies are usually with whiskey, but I'm going to go with rum today.
Okay.
Because we had it in their freezer.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know which camera to put it up to. This is Bumboo. Bamboo Rum, and it has like kind of vanilla flavor. Is it vanilla?
I think is this the one with vanilla? I think this is the regular one, right?
I have no idea.
Me neither. There's like three or there's like three, right? There's like the clear glass and there's like a white glass.
Oh yeah, the white glass and is then, like cream.
Okay. And then there's like a black glass.
The black glass is
disgusting.
Yeah. It's like not well, bad. I just like am not like a rum drinker.
Exactly.
And
for
it's
people
strong.
Yeah, I'll say for people who don't like the sweet shit, the black one is for you.
Yeah.
Liquor altogether is hard to drink.
Altogether.
Like literally.
Like it doesn't
altogether.
Matter what kind of liquor it is.
Like I don't get
so,
why we do this.
If you guys are an alcohol company and want to sponsor us, go ahead.
Yeah. So.
So we're going to pour some rum up in this motherfucker.
In this mug.
You think that's enough?
Do you guys get it? Let's get some rum in this mug.
that's cute.
Right?
It's cute. It's cute. I like that. I feel like I want to put more. Let me not get too hasty.
Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to work out today.
Okay. We're also going to pour a little bit of lemon juice. I know you guys are going to kill us for using like lemon juice out of a bottle, but we didn't have fresh lemons.
Yeah. So maybe send us lemons. And then imagine we have like endless boxes of lemons.
I know, right? Where did the –
The pink thing?
No. There was supposed to be cinnamon.
The cinnamon is behind
okay,
you.
Okay, give me 1 second.
Yeah,
you guys.
You go do that. Yeah, once again, though, we drink, we talk about murder. If you're new to this, let's see, what's been going on? It's 2022 now. What has been going on? Ooh, what's your New Year's resolution? I hate these. Go.
You know what? I told myself like last year I didn't have a New Year's resolution. You guys, I'm just sprinkling some cinnamon up in this biatch. Again, we don't have like cinnamon sticks or anything, so we're just going to go. Can you see my tits? Dude.
Your actual
Is
nip?
Is it see-through?
Not really.
hopefully.
Guess we'll find
hopefully
out when
we
edit.
Can, like, darken it up or something. Yeah, once again, we are just amateur cocktail artists, okay?
Yeah.
We don't know nothing about shit.
We don't know
okay?
shit. We're just here to get drunk and try new recipes.
Right. The last thing I'm going to pour in here, this is hot boiling water. I don't know if you can see the steam coming from it. It's super
it's
hot.
Steamy. So New Year's resolution.
New Year's. Oh, I'm missing the honey. That's what I need.
She's avoiding.
You see, obviously, I suck at this.
You avoided my question like two
times. Oh, New
Year's
resolution.
You also suck at multitasking.
Clearly, right? Oh my God, I cannot answer.
I'm like, bitch,
and
okay, well,
at the same time.
Fuck my New Year's resolution then.
Yeah, you start while I get the honey.
Okay, that's fine. My New Year's resolution, I definitely want to work out more. That's everyone's New Year's resolution. But for real this time, I feel like Taj and I have been on this workout kick last year for the longest time. I think that we were on a really good streak. We were both slowly but surely losing weight. But this time for a whole year straight, I want to get a consistent workout in. I want to make more money. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but I want money to motivate me. And I don't mean that like, oh, everything's about money. No, because my problem is that I want to make more money, but I don't want to work. But in order to make money, you're going to have to do things that you don't want to do. So I'm like, well, I'm going to have to do some things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, some things that you don't necessarily.
Yeah, so whether it's getting another, you know, 9 to 5 with a higher salary or side hustles that I really don't want to do. Just because ew, but if I want to make more money, I'm gonna have to put my mind to it and I'm gonna have to suck it up and just be a boss babe and do it. You know what I mean?
You know what? We are living in a time where we literally have so much free information.
There's
it's ridiculous.
And so many sources. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
So many resources to get started on little things. You know what I mean? So that's definitely my – oh, and of course, like – pay off the student loan debt that I've acquired for my half a year at Troy University for journalism. I definitely want to get rid of that debt. Yeah. Such a waste. Oh my God. What else?
What a waste.
Dude. Yeah. What else?
That's what I tell people out of high school, dude. Like, if you don't know what you want to do yet, just like take the year or like take a semester at least off.
Yeah.
And like, try to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, they do go into school paying, like, accumulating all of this debt, and they don't even know what they're doing. Like, I ended up switching my major like 3 times, and then I never even finished. Yeah. So it was just like,
this you is really, stupid. You really want to know what you want to do. You want to have a plan as well. Let's cheers this in really quick.
Aww,
to the first podcast of the year. Let me just say, I'm so happy to be doing this with you.
Me too.
Let me just say that. Yeah. I'm grateful that you...
We have a good time.
Yeah, I'm grateful that we're partners. I don't think that I could do this with anyone else.
Oh,
you know,
are you
like,
trying to make me cry?
No, for real. Like, I don't think I could, you know? Just like, I feel like we understand each other. I feel like our chemistry is like amazing.
Yeah.
It should be because we're sisters. But it's just like, oh yeah, we're sisters.
Yeah, if you didn't know.
But, but yeah, like I
agree.
I would not want to be doing this with anyone.
Ditto.
Else. I just want to say
100%.
That. I think 2021 was a great year for us.
Oh yeah.
To start off as, especially as beginners, and I'm happy to keep growing this with you for sure.
Let's get it popping.
Yeah,
girl.
I'm just excited.
So
for
excited.
What is to come, and to you guys, I'm excited for you guys.
You guys are so dope. Seriously.
Yeah, there are a number of you guys who have been here for a long time. Since the beginning, since the very first episode. So thank you so much for rocking with us. I remember our interview from So She Slays.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah. Oh, that was really
you
cool.
Know?
That was awesome.
Shout out to Danny.
Oh my gosh.
Shout out to Danny.
So dope from So She Slays.
And her Instagram is the cutest thing ever, honestly.
Yes.
It's adorable.
And I love her. She was literally like, she found us so randomly and was just like, oh my God, I love these girls. And just gave us an interview. And we didn't even have a podcast yet.
No, we didn't.
We were just doing Instagram Live.
Yeah, yeah, so, seriously. Yeah. So shout out to those of you guys who were just our day one supporters. And we want to continue to do this, of course, not only for us, but for you guys. How do you like the drink?
Is yours strong?
A little bit.
Yours is a lot darker than mine. That's why I'm like, I feel like yours is stronger than mine.
A little bit.
I hate you a little
but
bit.
You know what it is? It's that like in my brain I was thinking I was about to drink some tea.
Oh.
You
no.
know? And it's completely not tea.
Yeah.
But
it
it's not bad.
Though.
It's really
it's
not
good.
Bad.
Yeah. I wanted to say, I guess my New Year's resolution, I didn't necessarily have like a specific thing, but my number one thing was like, of course, money. I need to get better at spending my money.
Ooh.
You know what I've had this mindset for a long time was like, well, I like in order to get better with my money, I need to make more money.
Really? That was
that's been my mindset.
Wow.
Like if I made more money, I would like
you would manage it and
even manage it. I would just always thought if I made more money, I wouldn't be broke. Like that's just what it
was.
Gotcha. And so I'm trying to be better. Excuse me, guys. Trying to be better at managing my money.
Yeah.
And also my number one thing this year, I'm trying to be a better friend.
Mm.
I am trying to I'm really that friend that's like, dude, we won't talk for months and I'm not good at checking up on people. I'm not good at keeping up with people.
Yeah.
I'm like I watch your story and that's my way of being like
communicating.
Hey, yeah, you know, and so I'm trying not to be that because a lot of people have been such great friends to me. And I want to reciprocate that.
Mm.
And plus, I don't have like a group of friends that I'm like, these are my girls.
Mm.
And I want that. And I envy people who have that.
Mm.
And so I'm like, this is my year. I'm going to have a solid group of people that have my back. I have their back. And it's just important. Like those friendship relationships are just as important as like romantic relationships.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to
And keep business, that at the top of the list. And business relationships for as sure, well.
For sure.
You know,
your network is everything.
Literally.
Everything.
Literally. And it's not about like, oh, what can I get from my friend or what can my friend get from me? It's just about surrounding yourself with people who are like-minded. Right. And, you know, when you think of when you think of friends and family, like those are the people you're supposed to lean on. Those are the people, right. Like if you have no other resources, I know that I can come to you or I can come to some of my friends. And I'm like, hey, I'm kind of in limbo here. I don't know what direction I should go in.
Exactly.
And, you know, they can help you out because they're either in this on the same level or a bit higher. And yeah. They'll be able to be like, oh, yeah, I've been there before. Well, why don't you take this direction?
What does Uncle Charlotte say? If you can't be used, you're useless.
Yeah, that's very true.
And I want I want my friends to use me and I want to use my friends for good things.
For good
of course.
Things. Yeah. And you know what? And I always had this like. Misunderstood notion that that was wrong, like that was just evil just because the word using has a really bad right. connotation to it. And so like I just, you know, I didn't really think about my friends also being my network,
right?
You know exactly. what I mean? Whereas like I do have friends that I know who are doing very well that I would like to keep in touch just because again we are like-minded and anytime we have conversations it's just empowering, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that's the thing, like my, you know, aside from being, you know, a good friend, I would like to also surround myself more with like-minded people.
Exactly.
You know,
I
with
agree.
My friends.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
To the new year. Cheers to the end of the holidays,
yeah,
you guys.
Yeah, seriously.
It's been a good holiday season for me.
Yeah.
I've been able to relax. I've been able to have some fun.
Yeah.
I've been able to just do what I want to do.
Yeah.
I think that that's really dope.
Yeah. Back to reality, but
yep.
same like vacation and literally doing nothing is amazing. But also it's that thing of like I want to do something. I want to get back to it, you know?
Exactly.
But anyways, cheers to this new year. Seriously.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, let's bring it into the next murder.
Uh-oh.
And also that photographer, dude.
Oh, nice.
Hello, we're back.
Helicopter, helicopter. Oh, I love that helicopter. This is where it gets sad.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
This is what you guys came to see. What you guys came to hear. Go ahead. Who's first?
I don't know. You know, the last couple episodes, we haven't told stories, so.
Oh, yeah. You want to?
But I'll go first
yeah.
because you did tell, like, the hometown stories last. Remember?
I did. Yeah. I did. So go for it.
All right. Let me start because my body's breaking down, y'all.
Oof.
Whew. Time to get under a blanket.
Yeah. All right. Go for it.
Okay. Today, my story is about Charles Bothuel V. Since this is our first YouTube video ever, I wanted to start our cases off this year with a viral YouTube true crime story. And I came across it so randomly. And
oh, nice.
I wasn't around or I didn't see when it went viral. But when I was looking it up, it went pretty crazy on YouTube
oh, wow.
during the time. So, yeah. All right, so I wanted to give credit where I got my information from. You guys remember, we are not like criminal journalists or professional whatever.
No.
We literally like Google this information and then we relay it to you as best as we can.
Yeah.
Okay, so credit to the one and only Wikipedia. An article on Freep.com by Robert Allen. An article on DetroitNews.com by Holly Fournier. I think is how you say it. An article on Daily News by Ryan Gorman and Will Payne.
Okay.
Let me get comfortable. Let me put on my ASMR voice.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Just like many of the victims we discuss on Cocktail Murder, it was a little difficult to find a lot of information. Charles Bothuel V, first of all, the fifth. Come on, guys. Let's let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
See, we get it.
I don't even want a junior. Like, if I had a son, I wouldn't want him to be a junior. I definitely don't want a fifth in the family.
I don't think I want that either.
No.
I don't think anyone wants that, but
no,
men.
Right?
Men are
exactly
the only
except for men.
Actually, like that. No way, Jose.
Goodness gracious, he's probably gonna come out looking like his dad, anyways. I don't need his name to be his father's name.
Like, we get it. We know.
Right. Okay. I wonder too, like, if you like yell your husband's or your partner's like name during sex, and then you name your son his name. Isn't that weird?
It's just weird.
Yeah, that's so weird. I don't know why I thought of that just now.
You're demented.
Okay, so what we do know about Charles Bothwell V is that he lived in Detroit with his mom initially. He was generally a good kid, but around fifth grade, let's see if I can get comfortable, fix myself. Around the fifth grade, his grades started slipping and he began acting out in school. His mother decided it would be best that he moved in with his father and stepmom, but that does like suck, I'm sure, for like kids growing up in two different households. Yeah. I would kind of think that there's this feeling of like, oh wow, like you don't want me, so you're sending me to my dad's house.
Even though she had reason to do that, but I think
because
as a child,
because a lot of times the sons, they do need to go with their dads.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, for sure.
They need to be raised by a man type shit.
But I guess as a child, it would be easy to comprehend it in that way.
Like, yeah.
Okay, yeah, my mom didn't want me, so she kicked me out.
Yeah, and made me live with
my dad.
Yeah, my dad.
Yeah.
His father enrolled him in school for his fifth grade year, but after a month decided to homeschool him instead. He had a pretty strict homeschool schedule for a few years before his father decided to enroll him back once he hit like the seventh grade. However, he had a hard time keeping up because there were just things that he hadn't learned yet in homeschool. I was briefly homeschooled yeah, it's hard. It's hard to be homeschooled, even if you're on a strict schedule. Just like the curriculum going into a public school is just a lot different.
Very different.
I think when parents homeschool or when anyone homeschools, it's just they do it at their own pace rather than at a school pace, which could be good or bad. If you go back to school and you're way behind because you're going at your own pace, like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, in June of 2012, Charles attempted to run away from home. However, police found him and returned him back to his father's house that same day. In 2013, he attempted suicide by slicing his wrists after falling into depression.
Oh, no.
Sorry, guys. I should have said trigger warning before that.
Yeah. Oh, no, though. That's sad.
Yeah. In June of 2014, his stepmother called Charles' dad, who was at work, and told him that she couldn't find him anywhere.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure how long it was before Charles' father jumped into action, but he did call the police and filed a missing persons report. It seemed as if police took it pretty seriously because they began looking for Charles immediately.
That's good.
They searched the area as well as the home that he lived in, but unfortunately Charles was nowhere to be found and they couldn't find any evidence of his whereabouts. So it was like this kid was like just nowhere to be found. They had no idea where he went, no trace of him pretty much. it kind of seemed like he vanished without a trace. While police was searching for Charles, his mother and father went on a press run pleading for tips. 11 days after Charles' disappearance, his father appeared on live TV or national TV with Nancy Grace. Nancy Grace is like true crime legend.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like...
you know who Nancy she is. Grace. If I tell you she's a white woman, middle-aged, blonde, blunt cut, like you can see her face.
It's Nancy Grace.
It's Nancy Grace.
Yeah.
Yeah, while Charles' father was doing the live interview, Nancy Grace interrupts him with huge news. Charles had been found.
Oh, my God.
On live television.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, literally, the audience are going to gasp.
Seriously.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. And wow. So that's the video that went viral. And I'll try to post it on our Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to be able to post it on here. We'll see. But But yeah, that because he's like on live TV pleading for any tips for his son. And she's like, Charles, who his father's name is also Charles the Fourth. it's like, what kind of shit is that? You know?
Go.
Shit. Like Junior, then the third, then the fourth, then the fifth. That just is crazy. It's and then much. Charles of all names.
Yeah.
That's not even like a great name.
No, it's not. It's no offense to all the Charles out there. Even even to our dear like Charlie.
Yeah, my baby Charlie.
That's our Charles. But yeah, no, I mean that name is already not original.
Not at all.
So you're gonna have
so you redid produce, it five times.
Yeah, you're gonna produce five more. Four to five more.
That's crazy.
In your own household. Jesus.
But yes, okay, so his father, first he goes completely silent with disbelief. Then he starts like grabbing his chest and he's just like, oh my gosh, like, are you serious? Oh like what God. The fuck? You know?
He grabs his chest.
It's so dramatic, right? It seems a little dramatic. But I guess if your son is
well,
missing.
Yeah, it's your son, but I get it, but I just like I just imagine.
Nancy Grace tells him, we are getting reports that your son has been found alive in your basement.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly, exactly Charlie. Exactly.
Yeah, Charlie's like, what the fuck is that? No. Wait a minute. Wait, and she said that on live?
On live.
Oh. Oh, you
and then
know.
And then she starts talking like,
oh, no.
What was he doing in your basement? Like, she starts asking him these questions.
On live
shut up. National this television.
Fake. This is fake, dude. This is fake.
When I first saw it, I was like, this gotta be fake. But when you read the case, staged. It's so crazy.
It's staged.
Right?
There has to be no way.
That's why I laugh, too, when, like, when I say he's, like, grabbing his chest. It's like, okay.
Okay, let's get into it. Get into
yeah, yeah, yeah. All right.
Because he's sounding guilty as hell to me.
So at the same time he was doing the interview, the police went to search his home one more time. Apparently, during the previous search, they missed the basement. During their search, this time, they found 12-year-old Charles in a t-shirt, pajama pants, and socks in a small room in the basement. He was behind several boxes and a large plastic drum.
Oh my God.
Nearby was bedding as if he had been sleeping there. He looked abnormally thin and had marks all over his body.
No.
I know, so sad. I'm sorry, guys. Charlie hears someone outside of the door, and so he's
going
trying
nuts.
To protect us, apparently.
While he's laying down in his
right,
bed.
Exactly.
So he's not doing much.
Yes, you, Charlie. Okay. Of course, the boy being in the basement of his own father's house had the police looking into his father. Charles was immediately removed from his dad and stepmom's care and placed under the care of his mother, who only lived a couple of miles away. Which is like, that's already crazy too.
Yeah.
Like, your mom only lives a couple miles away and you're in your dad's basement.
I was under the impression when you said that the mom was sending him off to the dad that it was a completely different state.
That's what I thought too until I kept
know.
Reading.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a couple. Like, no, that you're.
Me too.
That's kind of nothing.
Yeah. And so what I also read was that the mom had like two more kids, and then those two kids had to be put under the care of other relatives while Charles lived there. I don't know if that's just something that had to do with the investigation or if they just weren't comfortable with him being with his step siblings. I think they were younger and like maybe they were scared that given what
his
he had been going through and you know,
maybe
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. They didn't like specifically say or whatever. Okay, so during the trial, Charles Bothwell V let it all out. He explained how he was abused in so many different ways. I guess at one point the doctor said that he was overweight, and that was when he first got to his dad's house. So his dad and stepmom put him on a crazy workout routine that he had to do every day. And the routine consisted of kind of basic stuff like push-ups, jumping jacks, sit-ups, and lifting weights. Mm-hmm. However, he was forced to work out for 4 hours straight, two times a day.
Oh, 2 times a day.
Remember, this is a 12-year-old kid. 12-year-old kid. And I will post pictures on our Instagram and stuff. But, I mean, this kid couldn't have been that much overweight.
That's nuts.
You know, like, it's just crazy. If he didn't finish his workout or didn't do it correctly, his dad would beat him with a PVC pipe. He said that he was hit all over his body, his butt, his feet, chest, head, thighs, sides, and arms. He said that he was often so sore that he couldn't sit or walk. Police found the PVC pipe that was used to beat him, and it was covered in stains of blood.
No. Oh, no.
Charles also had blood stains on his body and clothes.
No.
Charles said his stepmom would also join in on the beatings, stating that she would kick him in the head and choke him.
Oh, hell no. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. I know. It's crazy.
Hell no.
He also explained that he had to sneak food, saying that when it was really, really quiet at night, he would, like, try to go upstairs or outside of the basement or just outside of wherever he was and try to, like, find food, but the only things that they would allow him to have was like protein snacks and like some cereal, and that was it. The trial, let me see. Yes, the trial was such a shit show. Like, it was terrible. Charles' father's attorney did everything he can to discredit the 12-year-old's claims. He called the 12-year-old a liar in court, told him that he could have just left since the basement didn't have a locked door.
You're going to tell the child, the abused child, that he could just leave.
That he could just leave.
While he's fear-stricken of not only his dad, but his stepmom.
Dude. He even brought up Charles' like trouble in school at one point, and it was just so bad. Like, to think that this 12-year-old kid who has gone through so much in the basement of his own father's house, that someone would even stand up there and try to discredit everything he's saying. Like, it's crazy. The big question was, why didn't the police find him in the basement when they searched the home the first time?
Yeah.
Apparently, they looked everywhere but the basement, which is so weird. And I did see a photo, which again, I'll post, but I did see a photo and it was kind of like a townhouse. And then you go down to the basement and then there's a door. And outside of the door was like a long underground hallway where the next like townhouse or apartment or whatever, it was like a duplex type thing, they can leave from their door too. It was just like weird, but that door was like usually locked. I don't know. It was like this whole thing of
so
like
it could have been missed the basement.
No. Well, I guess like maybe it could have been, but it shouldn't have been.
They
like if you're searching
thoroughly.
Yeah, why wouldn't you search down there?
Door.
Yeah. The terrible part, though, is that Charles said that he could actually hear the police searching the house.
No.
But his stepmom threatened to kill him with a sharp knife if he made any sounds.
Oh, my goodness.
So he was, like, too terrified to even call for help.
Hoping they opened the door.
I know. I could just imagine him, like, praying, like, please look here. Yeah. Please come here.
I just want to say this. If you're ever in a bad situation like that and a person who already threatened to kill you before tells you to be quiet while you're close to freedom and they threaten to kill you, you know, that way you stay quiet, just scream. They're
scream
gonna kill
help.
You they're gonna kill you anyways, right? Like
that's the tough thing I think with his situation too was that, remember, he had run away before.
Oh, yeah.
And he explained in the trial that when he ran away and he came back, that was when his father like began beating him with the PVC pipe. So I could imagine this time he was probably just like, even though he didn't run away, he just doesn't want to get beat again.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like someone in an abusive relationship where they're just like, we've talked about it before, where you get to a point where you're just like, I just don't even want to say anything because I don't want any argument to come up at all. I don't even want to say hello because you could turn that into something fucked up, you know? So,
and let alone he's a child.
Right. 12 years old.
So,
12 years old.
Yeah. Easily to manipulate to be quiet.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I just couldn't imagine hearing the police come in and you can hear them and then they search and then you can hear them leave. It's just crazy. And he also said the same thing about telling his mom about the abuse, because apparently he would like go see his mom too. He like lived with his dad, but he saw his mom often. But I was just like, well, where was his mom this whole time?
Yeah.
And that's what happened. Like, basically, he was too scared to tell his mom. And actually, one of the things he said was, I didn't think it mattered. Like, I didn't think it would matter to anyone else. But that also shows, like, not only was he physically abused, he was psychologically abused.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was told, like, literally nobody would care. Yeah. And also, if you said something, we would kill you.
I mean, and on top of that, like, they could have been like, see, your mom kicked you out. She doesn't want you. So she really doesn't care. So you don't go to her at all.
Yeah, exactly.
She doesn't give a shit about you.
Exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they told him.
Yeah.
After some deliberation, they came to a conclusion, and you guys brace yourselves for this one. On January 19th of 2016, the case was resolved when Charles Bothwell IV, his father, pleaded guilty to fourth degree child abuse in exchange for removal of the second degree child abuse charges. You guys, I didn't Google the difference between the two, so I'm sorry.
Second
you're going to have to do that yourself.
Second degree is not premeditated. Fourth degree
must be
like accidental.
Yeah, like accidental, quote unquote accidental
abuse.
Which I don't get how that could be. Like he thought he was doing the right thing, like type shit, but wasn't. Okay, that's stupid. The prosecutors revealed that Bothwell V. Or Charles Bothwell V was very thin, had marks on his body from the abuse and all that stuff. Okay. You guys. Charles Bothwell IV, his father, was sentenced to 18 months of probation and mandatory anger management classes. He also lost custody of his son, and he was ordered to have no further contact with him.
18 months of probation?
And anger management classes.
Are you kidding me? Locked up in a basement. What about the stepmom?
She reportedly accepted a plea deal earlier as well, but the details of that was not made public. But it was reported that her record would be cleared after 6 months.
Are you kidding me?
If she stayed out of legal trouble.
Are you kidding me?
You know, when I was, like, researching this story, one part, I was like, this is so sad. The second part of me was like, this is such a good story because, like, what the fuck? Like, this is such a mind fuck of a story. And then when I read the end, like, the sentence that they got, I was like, this isn't even worth it because they literally just got a slap on the wrist.
Literally. For child imprisonment.
Child imprisonment.
For abuse.
Physical abuse, neglect, torture. Like, come on. All of these things. All of these things.
And a slap on the wrist.
Assault. You assaulted your kid. He said that his stepmom was kicking him in the head and choking him.
Threatening with a knife.
Dude, that's crazy.
That's, wow.
And you guys, that's the story of Charles Bothwell V.
That is disgusting.
I was trying to find, like, things about him now, because this was back in 2015, 2016. So I wanted to see if I can find an update on him, but I couldn't.
What about the real mom? Do we know anything about the biological mom?
No. So basically what was going on, the family was just silent about it. They weren't really talking to reporters. The only information we did have was from, I want to say it was the social worker, because she had to go and visit him, you know? And she spoke to the press and said something about him, like, he's smiling again, and he's, like, you know, working on moving past everything that happened and stuff like that. So it does seem like maybe he's in a better place and he's happier now. And I hope he's getting, like, the help, like, mental help that he needs to get through it. It's just difficult because, once again, his mom only lives a couple of miles away from his dad. So what the fuck?
Yeah, he's bound to run into them. And then not only that, like, the fact that the dad was on live and acted totally surprised and have everyone literally empathize with this man about where his son is.
He had whole communities out, like, looking for him and stuff,
and
you know?
And he was looking for him with them, supposedly.
Supposedly. He's like, well, we checked everywhere. And then Nancy Grace was like, did you check your basement? Like, did you even search your basement? And he was like, we looked everywhere. I looked. His mother looked. The police looked. And wow. It was like, he was clearly there for that whole 11 days.
So they had to have planned on killing him.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
They had to have planned on killing him.
That's what I'm thinking.
They had to. Because why would they contact the police if their son is still alive in the basement?
Yeah. That's what I, and they you know what, that's what I was literally, I was searching for, like, the police call. Like, what did he say on the phone about his son? Like, oh, my son is missing. I can't find him. Like, where? Like, what caused him to do that? Because he had to have known his son was down there.
And at first I was thinking maybe even the stepmom, maybe she found him missing or thought he was missing and didn't know what was going on either, as most wives don't with facts. Some of these fucking psychopaths. But the fact that she's in on it too, and the story, their story is all of a sudden he's missing, she doesn't know where he is.
Exactly.
And they both contact the police together.
I don't know.
About their missing son, but their missing son was alive in the basement. They had to have, like, given it a day, they probably would have killed that little boy.
Like, maybe they were waiting for it to, like, die down, like, the hype.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And they were
to die down.
Just going to let him die on his own.
Exactly. Oh, so crazy.
That is. He was probably near death already. They probably thought he was dead already. Close enough. Okay, I'm gonna start the year off with the tagged killer. First, I am gonna get into tagged. Tagged is a social media platform based in San Francisco. This platform was originally for teens, then middle age groups started hopping on it towards like 2010. 80% of tagged users uses Facebook, and the number of regular tagged users fluctuate, but what is consistent is that mostly African American girls and women are on tagged or used to be on tagged. This platform had widely been used to meet up with people, although I don't think it was encouraged by the creators of this platform to do that. I've never heard of tagged before.
Me either.
Literally until I came across this story and I was like, the tagged killer, I thought that it was, I don't know, I just had something.
Like toe tags? Or not?
Nope. Okay. One user named Khalil Wheeler Weaver grew up in a comfortable home in a middle-class neighborhood in Orange, New Jersey. His stepfather is a police detective in East Orange, and his uncle is a police officer in Newark. He worked as a security guard at a hotel and also at a grocery store. He aspired to be a police officer as well. At only 20 years old, he spent most of his time on tagged in 2016. He connected with 19-year-old Robin West, who was a sex worker, but his time with his friend would cut short when police responded to a call about a fire in an abandoned home. When they walked in, amongst the debris, they found Robin's body charred and unidentifiable.
Holy shit.
Took a turn.
Yeah. We're starting off crazy.
Yep. The only reason that they were able to identify her body was because they were able to identify her body through through dental records.
Got it. Yeah.
They also could not determine the cause of the death due to the state of her body.
Damn.
Going through her records, they of course found that she had been connected with Khalil, to which investigators immediately questioned him. He admitted to meeting up with her to grab dinner, then dropping her off just two blocks from where she was found dead. Wow. So they couldn't necessarily... So he's just a, kind of a suspect, just not so much a suspect, yeah. Just more on the radar, basically.
Yeah. They have a name for it. It's like, it's not a suspect, it's a person of interest.
Yeah, there is a exactly. Mm-hmm. Less than 2 months later, 33-year-old Joanne Brown, who was on the line of homelessness, was reported missing and found in an abandoned home, tied up with tape covering her nose and her mouth.
Whoa.
Her death was ultimately ruled as strangulation.
Oh, goodness.
A witness last saw her in the car that belongs to a young man who fits the description of Khalil Wheeler Weaver.
No, Khalil.
So now this guy is completely on their radar.
Right.
Sarah Butler was 20 years old and a second-year student at New Jersey City University. She was in the middle of earning a degree and was well-to-do with a very supportive family. On Thanksgiving of 2016, she goes home to be with the family. Being an avid user on Tagged, she met Khalil. Mm. They made plans to go to dinner, and he offered to pay for her time. He said he'd give her $500 for a little extra dessert after dinner.
Oh, Lord. He's a trick, too.
And as any other 20-year-old college student would say, she said, yeah, why not? Maybe not all, but let's face it, in 2016, sex work had been glorified in the media without knowing the dangers of it. Mm-hmm. So now I feel like we kind of understand like what kind of, but basically what comes along with sex work and
right.
How dangerous it can be for young women. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of people now, they would like to actually legalize sex work so that there are laws in place to protect these young girls who go into it.
Yeah, honestly, because it's like it's gonna happen. You mm-hmm. might as well protect the people who are in it. Yeah,
exactly. Okay, so Sarah agreed. She jokingly texted him saying, "You're not a serial killer, right?"
Oh no.
Sarah told her mother she was going to meet a friend and borrowed her van. Thinking nothing of it, her mother said goodbye. And this would be the last time anyone would see Sarah Butler alive.
Oh, no.
And it's crazy because I don't know how many times I've texted people that I was about to meet up with, like, oh, I hope you're not a serial killer.
Yeah. That's like a thing you say, especially if you do, like, online dating.
Yeah.
It's just like a thing you say.
Yeah. So it's just really scary to think, you know, that that's, you know, she also jokingly said that.
Yeah.
And then something bad happens,
yeah.
And then she ends up missing.
So sad.
The Butlers immediately filed a report, and the investigators were on it with the possible suspect already in their back pocket. Her body was discovered on December 1st, 2016, at the 1400 Acre Eagle Rock Reservation in West Orange. Mm. On November 15, 2016, just before Sarah's murder, another woman named Tiffany Taylor approached authorities regarding an encounter that she had with Khalil that almost left her dead. Tiffany was 34 years old, several months pregnant, and had recently become homeless.
What?
She relied on sex work to get by. She told authorities she had made a deal with Khalil to pay her for sex. They met at a motel in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and left in Khalil's car. But he then put on a ski mask. And proceeded to handcuff Tiffany and duct tape her mouth. He then raped her in the back of the car and strangled her to the point that she lost consciousness. And I do find this very interesting because she already saw his face. So why would he put on a ski mask?
Yeah, that's
you know,
weird.
I think it's weird. And maybe, you know, he just wanted to hide his face while he was doing, you know, what he was doing.
Yeah.
Maybe he felt ashamed, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But
yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
Right.
Or weird. When she woke up out of consciousness, Tiffany somehow managed to persuade her captor, Khalil, to drive her back to the motel. Once she arrived, she ran into a room and locked the door. She called 911, but Khalil was already gone by the time police arrived. Meanwhile, Sarah Butler's family and friends were determined to find justice and to see basically who did this to poor Sarah.
Right.
One of the things that they did, they wanted to take matters into their own hands. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Sarah's sister did was basically created a fake account. Mm-hmm. Well, first she had all the passwords to... sorry, I'm like jumping everywhere. I should just stick to the script, huh? Anyways, basically Sarah's sister had all of Sarah's passwords, her social media passwords, including tagged, and found that the last person that she was supposed to meet up with was Khalil.
Mm-hmm.
And she came up with the idea to start a sting operation, basically. Oh, wow. With the investigators. Mm-hmm. And she said that, you know, she'll create a decoy for them.
Wow.
And basically either be a decoy, or if they want someone else to be a decoy, just to catch him, pretty much.
Right.
And so so they did just that. So on December 6th of 2016, Khalil then arrived at the location he had arranged with this quote-unquote date, and was instead met by an undercover police officer. He was then taken into custody.
That's good.
On the day he was taken into custody, authorities searched the tag killer's home and found 3 cell phones in his bedroom.
Sheesh.
These revealed several pieces of incriminating evidence. His internet searches included how to make homemade poisons to kill humans. What chemical could you put on a rag and hold to someone's face to make them go to sleep immediately?
He was trying to find chloroform.
Yeah.
He couldn't find the word chloroform, so he typed out that long. Said,
what in Google? What chemical could you put on a rag and hold on to someone's face to make them go to sleep immediately?
Oh my, that whole thing. Gosh.
If it's not any clearer.
Yeah. I think you're the guy. I will never understand when serial killers like do stupid shit in their Google search.
On top of that, it's 2016. You know, bruh, what I mean? Like, come on. And then I believe he also searched, if I erase the history, is my search tractable or something? Yeah. Like, it was just, I was like, wow, this is nuts.
Idiot.
Like, he's such an idiot. It appeared that Khalil also thought about applying to become a police officer, as he'd also search, quote, police entrance exam practice test, quote.
What is wrong with this guy? Idiot.
He's an idiot.
Idiot.
He's
terrible.
Idiot.
I'm so sorry to those women.
And not only that, like, it's just scary to think that someone who has thoughts of becoming a police officer are doing things to these women.
I mean, we see it now. We see, our very first case we ever covered, the Golden State Killer, was a police officer. It's almost like they feel like they can get away with more if they're a police officer.
I think so.
And let's face it, like, especially here in America, you get a little bit more power,
mm-hmm,
when you're a police officer. Yeah. And so you kind of feel like you can do whatever you want.
Exactly.
Unfortunately. And a lot of them take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Including hurting women.
And it's scary to think that he was well on his way into taking advantage of
that. Like, imagine if he would have taken that test and became a police officer.
I know that, like, in order to become a police officer, they're supposed to do, like, intensive, like, background checks. Do they check your internet history?
No, they don't, because all of these white supremacists,
yeah,
there's so many white supremacist, yeah, police officers.
Yeah.
Unless, and it's so crazy when they get in trouble, and literally you can go to their Facebook and it's a bunch of white supremacist,
yeah,
stuff. So it's like, clearly whatever background check they're doing on these guys it's not
very effective.
Maybe they're doing a background check on, like, where are you grew up, or, like, yeah, I don't know what school you went to,
but,
or did you graduate college?
Actually in their face.
Yeah, but they miss their Facebook posts.
Yeah.
Like, the easiest thing to find, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think in order to become a police officer,
obviously, with, you know, check their social medias, but I also think that they should check their search history, their internet search history. Yeah, I really do, because it could, you know, I don't know, they could have, you know,
things like that in it.
You know, what chemical could you put on a rag and hold to someone's face to make them go to sleep immediately in their Google search history? They could have that.
I can't believe
that whole thing. That's nuts.
Like, he like saw it in a movie and was like,
oh, like that, that's a thing. What chemical?
What chemical? I
do you
can't
put on a rag and hold to someone's face so that they go to, first of all, that's like, that's not even how Google works. Like,
no,
why the
it's
fuck
not
did you type a whole, not even phrase, a whole,
like, he literally
sentence
thought it and wrote it.
Exactly.
Like, he wrote,
he didn't
his
even
exact
try to
thought,
like, narrow it down.
Like, concise search.
Yeah, like,
oh my gosh. Yeah. Anyways, this guy's stupid.
After tracking Khalil's cell phone, authorities could place him at the abandoned house containing Robin West's body, which was set on fire in September 2016. His phone records also revealed that he had initially driven away, but then went back to watch the building burn.
Whoa. Yeah, psychopath for real.
Prosecutors also showed that the last person to call Joanne Brown before she disappeared was none other than Khalil himself. He picked her up, brought her to the abandoned house, and spent about an hour there before he left.
Well,
her body was found in the home around 6 weeks later.
6 weeks?
Isn't that crazy? I know. When I was like trying to piece together the timeline of when her body was found and when was the last time he saw
her.
Yeah, it 6 weeks. She had, it had
wow.
been 6 weeks. That's nuts.
That's crazy.
In February 2017, Khalil was indicted on 3 counts of murder, 1 count of attempted murder, aggravated arson, desecration of the human remains, aggravated sexual assault, and kidnapping. He pled
That's
not.
A lot.
Yeah.
As
however,
he should, of course.
Right. He pled not guilty to the
course.
3 murders and the charge of attempted murder. Like, you're
what
an
is
idiot.
The?
He's just stupid. Like, all of the evidence is there.
He didn't Google that, huh?
No. How do you get away with 3 murders?
Right.
And can I represent myself?
How much time do you get for murdering 3 women? Like,
yeah.
Google that shit.
Exactly.
Why you Google the shit to murder women and not the consequences of murdering women?
It just doesn't make sense. The jury found him guilty, however, of 11 charges, which included some of the charges that I had already mentioned, where he will be spending 160 years in prison.
Wow, 160 years.
And that is the story of the tagged killer.
That's good. That's
it
good.
Just, it kind of reminds me of the story that we did about the Twitter killer, I think that's what it's called.
Oh, yeah, the dude that was like assisting suicides,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, in Japan, based in Japan.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of that. Like, social media is so dangerous. Be
yeah,
careful.
Seriously.
Like, it's really dangerous. It's not, like, let me just say this. Khalil doesn't look crazy. He's young. He was 20 years old at the time.
So young.
He had, wow. He came from a well-to-do family. He was smart. He didn't look insane. He didn't seem crazy. He just, if you see a photo of him, he just looks like an average guy. He doesn't look like anything of danger, especially in 2016. We don't really hear about serial killers often during
that's
this
very
time.
True.
So now, I mean, they are, these psychopaths are finding a new way to get their prey, and it's through social media, it's through the internet, because that's
and
where
it,
we're at.
Yeah, it's so easy to meet up with people, and that's why I know at one point when you were like doing online dating, and remember I was telling you, like, don't have him pick you up, like, you know, like, make sure that you have your own transportation and blah blah blah, all this stuff, because you just never know. And I mean, right now there are stories, there's like the Tinder killers and like stuff like that. There's a case recently where it was I cannot remember the young woman's name, but she was a young black woman, and she met up with, I want to say it was Tinder or it was like some
was
online
on
dating.
Yeah, it was on
Tinder. Met up with the dude, and
it was
her body
an
was
older
found.
White man. Yeah.
in his house. She was dead in his house. And the police refused to investigate him because he was, quote unquote, a good guy. Or he seemed like a good guy, which is really fucked up. Hopefully, with everyone talking about it, they'll go back and reinvestigate him. But yeah, you never know who you're dealing with, ever.
Especially now. Once again, we're not, you know, we haven't heard about serial killers in so long. So now we have to be aware in this new time and where we're at.
And you know what? I actually, I see TikToks all the time of girls, like, they'll be on a plane and they're like, me traveling across the world to hang out with this guy that I just met on Instagram 3 days ago. And it's like,
or on TikTok.
You know, you think that that shit is like cute, but honestly, it's not, because that could be your life.
It could.
You don't know this person.
No, not at all. You don't. And even if this person is who he says he is, maybe he's not at all what you think he is. Either like you could go, what if he shows up, or what if he cancels on you at the last minute and now you're stuck, and then where are you gonna
go? What if he decides he don't like you and now you can't get home? He's not gonna give you a ticket home.
Like, what are you gonna do?
You have to watch out for yourself,
and
especially women, men too, but women, we really have to watch out for ourselves.
Seriously, because they're not gonna change anytime soon. I do want to note really quick that Khalil said that he did this to women who he felt like their lives weren't worth anything, because he felt like no one would miss them. But I can say, because we don't see this often, given two of the women's backgrounds, that police officers were on it when they're usually not. So I'm happy for that, you know. I'm happy that they're doing their job. We don't see that often.
First woman that he killed, that we know of at least, it almost seemed as if like they were questioning him, but they weren't really too worried about.
They just kind of put him on the back burner.
Yeah, they were like, okay, she was last seen with this guy. Okay, this is the story. That's it. Yeah. It wasn't until the second woman and then the third woman, the woman that got away, like, were also connected with him when they were like, oh, okay, we're pretty sure that this is our guy.
Yeah.
You know, so. So, I mean, that we see that in most of the stories that we talk about, especially when it comes to sex workers, where the investigation is really like just put on the back burner, because they do feel like those women's lives are not worth it. Even the men, the black men that we black victims that we talk about, they don't feel like their lives are worth the resources. And that's so sad. But that's why we're Cocktail Murder, and that's why we want to bring these stories to light.
Exactly. But that is the story of the tagged killer.
Ooh-wee.
And, wow.
Whoa.
First episode of the year.
Yeah, those were two crazy stories.
Yeah. We are now dropping our podcast audio on Tuesdays.
Because we want to do our visuals as well. And we're just switching it up for the new year. So if you guys are listening to this, we are no longer dropping on Thursdays. Was it Thursdays or Wednesday? Thursdays. Look, I already forgot. And we will be dropping on Tuesdays at midnight. Visuals,
yes,
I think as well, Wednesdays.
Yeah, we're dropping these visuals on Wednesdays. So
I swear we talked about this before.
Yeah, no, we do. It's just whatever. So make sure you guys tune in on Tuesdays for podcast anywhere on the platforms that you use or stream podcast. And or if you would like to see our faces, make sure you tune in onto our YouTube page, Cocktail Murder. On Wednesdays, and take a look at us. Check out our TikTok. That is ever growing, including our Instagram. TikTok is Cocktail Murder Pod. Instagram is Cocktail Murder. Last year, we received emails of suggestions, including your personal stories or even certain topics that you guys wanted us to talk about. So we encourage you guys to either DM us or email us at cocktailmurder@gmail.com.
Yes.
But until then, we can cheers it out.
Cheers it out.
To the next murder. Cheers.
Cheers.
Clink, clink, clink.
Bye, guys.
Bye.